Our scripture reading this morning is Numbers chapter 5. We're going to pick up at verse 11, actually. The bulletin says 1 to 10. The last time we had a scripture reading, about a month ago, we read that passage. So today we'll do verse 11 to the end of the chapter, a fairly long passage. It is the famous law of jealousy. One of the passages in the Old Testament that secular people will say, this shows you don't believe the Bible because you don't do this anymore. Well, actually, we understand that this is a formal procedure for Old Testament Israel under the law. Its principles are valid today, however. Now, here's what the situation is. You have a wife who is accused by her husband of sexual infidelity. And she may be guilty and he can't prove it, or she may be innocent and she cannot prove that. And so this ritual is brought whereby she is brought to the priest in the tabernacle or in the temple. Now, you'll see here that water is given her, holy water. It's added to it is dust from the floor of the tabernacle. And then they write the curses of the law on adultery. That is then scraped in it. Then the offering that the husband has to bring is burned. A portion of that is put in it. You see why it's called bitter water to drink. Now, don't be trying to find a medical explanation for how this works. It's not a medical procedure. It is God's provision for a number of important things. Our first reading, it seems strange and bizarre, but it teaches many important principles that are valid today and that were being enacted in the Old Testament. What are they? Well, first is the importance of sexual purity, both in and out of marriage. That the marriage bed, as the New Testament said, is to be kept undefiled. I suppose it's possible, and it's often been done, that virginity and sexual purity has been overemphasized, as if that's all that Christianity is, but it's also possible for it to be underemphasized. I think among evangelicals today, it probably is underemphasized. We're being shown here that God takes sexual purity seriously. And his people are not to be like the pagans who are slaves of their passions. We're to have self-control. We're made for purity. This is part of the purity section of the book of Numbers. And God takes it seriously. And here is an opportunity for the sin to be found out or for the innocence of the woman to be shown. Now, moreover, this shows that the institution of marriage is of great importance to the kingdom of Christ. Here you have marital disharmony. And here's a way for it to be reconciled in a public way. Marriage is an institution of the church. It's a public ordinance. People get married and they say, my marriage is no one else's business. The church does not feel that way. The Bible says that, well, of course, privacy is respected in so many ways. But the institution itself is to be governed by God through the church. This is also a provision for mercy, of course. I dare say, as you hear the reading of this procedure, no woman who knows she's guilty is going to subject herself to this, particularly because the punishment you will find in biblically delicate language is her feminine reproductive system will be terribly corrupted. The Bible says her belly will swell, her thigh will rot. This is something a woman does not want to contemplate. So the woman who undergoes this is able to prove her innocence. And the marriage is able to be restored. God is governing his church. Why? For the glorification of his honor and purity through his people and the maintenance of the institution of marriage. One thing this shows us is that marriage is important. We're to have harmony in marriage. And purity is important for all of God's people. Well, with this in mind, let's give ear to the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word, beginning at verse 11. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, if any man's wife goes astray and behaves unfaithfully towards him, and a man lies with her carnally, and it is hidden from the eyes of her husband, and it is concealed that she has defiled herself, and there was no witness against her, nor was she caught, if the spirit of jealousy comes upon him, and he becomes jealous of his wife who has defiled herself, or if the spirit of jealousy comes upon him and he becomes jealous of his wife, although she has not defiled herself, then the man shall bring his wife to the priest. He shall bring the offering required for her, 1/10 of an ephah of barley meal. He shall pour no oil on it and put no frankincense on it, because it is a grain offering of jealousy, an offering for remembering, for bringing iniquity to remembrance. And the priest shall bring her near and set her before the Lord. The priest shall take holy water in an earthen vessel and take some of the dust that is on the floor of the tabernacle and put it into the water. Then the priest shall stand the woman before the Lord, uncover the woman's head, and put the offering for remembering in her hands, which is the grain offering of jealousy. And the priest shall have in his hand the bitter water that brings a curse. And the priest shall put her under oath and say to the woman, if no man has lain with you, and if you have not gone astray to uncleanness while under your husband's authority, be free from this bitter water that brings a curse. But if you have gone astray while under your husband's authority, and if you have defiled yourself and some man other than your husband has lain with you, then the priest shall put the woman under the oath of the curse. And he shall say to the woman, the Lord make you a curse and an oath among your people when the Lord makes your thigh rot and your belly swell. And may this water that causes the curse go into your stomach and make your belly swell and your thigh rot. Then the woman shall say, amen, so be it. Then the priest shall write these curses in a book, and he shall scrape them off into the bitter water. And he shall make the woman drink the bitter water that brings a curse, and the water that brings the curse shall enter her to become bitter. Then the priest shall take the grain offering of jealousy from the woman's hand, shall wave the offering before the Lord and bring it to the altar. And the priest shall take a handful of the offering as its memorial portion, burn it on the altar, and afterward make the woman drink the water. When he has made her drink the water, then it shall be, if she has defiled herself and behaved unfaithfully towards her husband, then the water that brings a curse will enter her and become bitter, and her belly will swell, her thigh will rot, and the woman will become a curse among her people. But if the woman has not defiled herself and is clean, then she shall be free and may conceive children. This is the law of jealousy, when a wife, while under her husband's authority, goes astray and defiles herself, or when the spirit of jealousy comes upon a man and he becomes jealous of his wife. Then he shall stand the woman before the Lord, and the priest shall execute all this law upon her. Then the man shall be free from iniquity, but the woman shall bear her guilt. The grass withers and the flowers fall, and the word of our God abides forever and ever. Amen.